Staying with schools, during the COVID-19 shutdowns, there was a concern about a rise in cases of domestic violence. Equal concern existed with cyberbullying of school kids. This was an increasing problem before COVID-19. With the increased online time kids are having, certainly the danger has grown likewise. And it hasn't happened just on a one-on-one attack, by the way. As you'll see in a few moments, it's happening even during online classes. Now, there is at least some attention being paid to this situation. Representative Josh Gottheimer, Representative 5th District in the House, he formed the North Jersey Anti-Bullying Task Force to address the problem of bullying in schools. They released their report that delivers 5 recommendations for schools, teachers, administrators, legislators, how to strengthen laws and, well, here's a novel idea, protecting students. Stats vary from school to school, but basically, 70% of students say they've witnessed bullying at school, and less than 30% of victims wind up telling an adult, parent, teacher, any adult what happened. 1 in 5 kids in the U.S. bullied either at school or virtually, and it has increased beyond the schoolyard, about 15% reporting cyberbullying incidents, either online via text messages, and, well, now even on the those mobile meeting platforms like Zoom. The task force, which includes a mix of educators, mental health pros, parents, administrators, good group of people, variety of opinions and experiences, they spent months talking with experts, reviewing studies, findings, researching anti-bullying laws, and what they recommend includes redefining New Jersey's definition of bullying, improving investigations into bullying incidents, expanding training for teachers and staff, incorporating mental health services into the school setting, and addressing cyberbullying earlier and beyond the school settings. One of the task force members, Carla Mancuso, who's a special ed teacher at High Point Regional High School, she said the way in which bullying reports are handled needs to improve, and the state needs to better define what does and does not count as bullying. They also believe that a third party should be allowed to advocate on behalf of a student or parent, seeing that as more helpful, especially since schools, well, they're not always motivated to move on an incident. There's a reason for that. I'll leave you thinking about what that could be for a moment. They also say there's a need for ongoing training and support for educators, staff, and the school community, how to respond to reports of bullying. Representative Gottheimer also plans to ensure social media companies are stepping up on this situation of cyberbullying as well. Plans to take the report recommendations, put them into action on a federal level, and is hoping that the folks in Trenton will do the same. I got a feeling the teachers union might have something to say about that. This is according to stopbullying.gov. Signs of cyberbullying include noticeable increases or decreases in device use, like texting, for example, which should be an easy problem to spot if you see your child reluctant to text. Yeah, definitely sit down, because there was that's something seriously wrong there. A child exhibits emotional responses, laughter, anger, upset to what's happening on their device. The laughter is obviously the one doing the bullying, where the anger and the upset reaction is the recipient and the target. If a child hides their screen or device when others are near, avoids discussion about what they're doing on the device, which, as a parent, you should never say, okay, I was just asking. No, you keep asking. If they shut down their social media pages and new ones pop up, if a child starts to avoid social situations, even those that they liked in the past, or a child becomes withdrawn or depressed, loses interest in people and activities, those are some of the warning signs that you as a parent and a teacher should be watching out for. More detailed stats on bullying. About 20% of students between the ages of 12 and 18 have experienced bullying nationwide. And they thought those who bully them had the ability to influence other students' perception of them. 56% of bullying victims believe that. 50% believe their aggressors had more social influence. And 40% said they were physically or stronger or physically larger. More detail with cyberbullying among 12 to 18-year-olds, as I said, 15%, were targets. According to the CDC, who compiles the stats, grades 9 through 12 in New Jersey, in 2019, a total of 1,389 incidents of cyberbullying were reported. Not overall took place, those we'll never know, unfortunately. And the gender breakdown, 732 female, 651 male. I know those sound like small numbers, but tell that to the victims and their families. In too many cases, you only speak with the family members because the target of the cyberbullying way too often kills themselves. Having given New Jersey cyberbullying stats to you a moment ago, do you know how those numbers are compiled? I'll finally answer that question. New Jersey schools fill out the paperwork themselves and submit their numbers to the CDC and other organizations. So it makes you wonder just how lowball those numbers really are. I remember back in 2017, and you can still find this audio over at our website in the audio archive at issuesandideasradio.com, when I called out the occupants of the State House in Trenton to demonstrate that they give a damn after 12-year-old Mallory Grossman from Rockaway Township killed herself after suffering bullying and school failing to do anything. In 3 years, still waiting for that answer. At least from Trent, at least Representative Gottheimer sees the need for action and change. Now, I'll post that task force report on our website in a bit too, because it has a lot of great, very useful information, guidance for all people involved with this topic. So that was 2017 with Mallory Grossman. Came up with some more recent examples of cyberbullying. Woman and three juveniles from Fairlawn were charged with harassment and invasion of privacy for an incident in which a 14-year-old boy with a disability was, they call it, pantsed, basically dragging his pants down. The video of the boy who was crying, obviously, was shared on social media. Alys Fidra, I really don't care if I pronounce that wrong or not. She's 19, so that's why we know her name. She was charged as an adult with two counts of invasion of privacy harassment and cyber harassment. 16-year-old girl charged as a juvenile with invasion of privacy, cyber harassment, and harassment. Catch this. A 13-year-old boy and 10-year-old boy both be charged as juveniles with harassment. 13-year-old boy restrained the target, the 14-year-old boy, and a 10-year-old boy proceeded to pull down the boy's pants and underwear. And Fidra, along with the 16-year-old girl, filmed what was taking place on their cell phones. They uploaded it to Snapchat, TikTok, and on the video, girls are laughing as the boy cries. Let's go over to Buzz Aldrin Middle School in Montclair, where the mother of a girl who attended that school has filed a claim with the school board alleging that her daughter, who was black, was the victim of racist bullying for 2 years. Claim says the girl was taunted in person and in an online chat group based on her race, skin color, hair texture, body type, and her singing ability. Which, because of this bullying, by the way, she's lost the desire to cultivate. And if I remember the story right too, she was able to play a musical instrument too, and she's not in the mood to do that anymore. This started all back in September 2018 when she transferred from West Orange as a 7th grader and continued through March of 2020. The claim states that the school district failed to adequately investigate the incidents or implement procedures to protect the girl, even retaliated against the mother and daughter. Montclair Superintendent Dr. Jonathan Pond said he couldn't comment on the anticipated litigation, typical route that they take, but the district investigates all incidents of bullying and implements age-appropriate consequences and safety protocols. The safety and welfare of our students is of utmost importance. Well, here's how the school responded, according to the girl's mom. Guidance counselor allegedly asked the girl what she was doing to provoke the attacks. Told her she was too nice, that you should choose better friends. She was told she should have run away, found an adult during the playground incident, during which there was no adult supervision. Another time a counselor explained that an aggressor didn't realize he was hurting her. He misreads social cues. Other responses, like assigning an adult guard for the girl during the school day, that just made her more of a target. By the time Mom spoke at a Board of Ed meeting on May 1st, she had sent over 200 emails regarding the torture that her daughter was dealing with. And as I said, I'll be posting the task force report from Representative Gottheimer's efforts and those of the other members of the task force. Maybe a better idea to mail a copy to each school principal, guidance counselor, superintendent, and administrator. Though my fear is it would just be turned into scrap paper sooner versus later. Oh, and you've cordially invited any school teacher, administrator, superintendent, counselor, you're certainly invited to prove me wrong. And still wait for that answer from you folks down in Trenton about whether or not you really give a damn. Because the time to step up has long passed. It's time for you to catch up.